Hello, church family. Today I will be reading the scripture reading of Acts chapter 2, verses 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Good morning. Might be afternoon, but I think it's still morning, right? The first thing I want to do is thank all of the people last week who helped me when I was sick, wasn't feeling well, at least not as well as I feel at this point. And I thought about that. And since we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and this is what I said. I said that the Holy Spirit laid it on these persons' heart to say, she's over there. She doesn't feel well. So let's go and see about her. And they came, and they did. And I had prayer and so on and some other things that were done. So I am thankful to the Holy Spirit and to all of the people who helped me and for all of the people who might have been praying who did not come, okay? Thank you. But you know, we know, being in this church for many years, we talk about and we know about God the Father, right? God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We know this. And there are three beings who really care about us, who really love us, the most powerful beings in the universe. Now, other than people who have God's Holy Spirit, who can really say that? You can't. You cannot say that. You have to have God's Holy Spirit. And so we're thankful that we have God's Holy Spirit. I heard someone on, I think it was on the news, probably on the news, talking about the Holy Spirit, and the fact that people, that there were actually people in the church that had this belief about the Holy Spirit. So I'm wondering, what are your thoughts about the Holy Spirit? When you see the Holy Spirit, do you think, well, that person over there, or what, do you think of the Holy Spirit as a person, a holy being? You have thoughts. Okay. The Holy Spirit does a lot of work. A lot of work. The Holy Spirit is with us on a daily basis. What time can you say, well, I got the Holy Spirit at this point? And maybe later on you say, no, I don't have the Holy Spirit. That is not how the Holy Spirit works. If you have the Holy Spirit today, you have the Holy Spirit at the end of the day, tomorrow. And I think one of the things I really believe, I just wonder how often people think about the Holy Spirit. You know, they think about God. And they think about Jesus Christ, which is great. But how often do we think about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit does so much work in our life on a regular basis, on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit is working. One example I can give you, that was this person who whenever would always park her car right there. Always that's her favorite spot. And this particular day, that's where she was going to park. But then she heard something. It was the Holy Spirit saying, don't park your car there. Park over there. And it's like, you know, you first thought, look, we got all of this space here. I can park here. But this particular person, she listened to the voice. She listened to the Holy Spirit, and she moved this particular time on the other side. And what happened? A huge accident in this identical spot that she would be sitting in. She'd be sitting there. So the Holy Spirit helps us in many ways. And sometimes it may give you a prompting. You know, something that keeps stays on your mind to do this, and sometimes you do it, and then sometimes you may not do it. And I was thinking about one particular incident at First Reform, and sitting around for a Bible study, and the Holy Spirit kept telling me to say a particular thing. And I didn't do it. And the urge to do it came back again. Nope, nope, nope. And again. And the thing about it, see, I'm making a decision. I'm saying, that doesn't even make sense to say that, you know. So I'm not saying it. But after a while, I made a decision that I was going to say what I was being told to say. And it didn't have to make a lot of sense to me. I mean, if the Holy Spirit tells you what to do, that's what you do. You don't have to figure it out, you know, say, well, it makes sense, it doesn't make sense. But at any rate, I did exactly what I was told at that particular point. And still, I went home, not seeing any particular point of doing it, but you do it because the Holy Spirit keeps telling you you need to do it, you know. And the Holy Spirit knows more than we do, so okay. And then about 2 or 3 weeks later that we all got together, and this same lady came up. We're just talking. And I discovered at that particular point that there was a reason that the Holy Spirit say this. I had no idea. But that was the one thing that really, really helped her. Not that she knew I said it, but the point of the whole thing, I say, wait a minute. I didn't think at that point that it really made sense. And all the time, it was something to help that particular person. And we know, let me read John 14:26. It says that the Holy Spirit, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And which is true, which is true. Have you ever been on the verge of, I mean, I'm trying to think of whatever. Can't think of it, you know. And the Holy Spirit just come right along and give you the words to speak, you know. There's so many, many ways that the Holy Spirit helps us. And what would we do without God's Spirit? We'd be in trouble. In trouble if we did not have God's Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. So we know the body of Jesus Christ. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one drink. For the body is not one member, but it's many members, many members. The other thing, the Holy Spirit leads us into all knowledge. Have you at one point been doing your Bible study? You know, you do this, you're doing your Bible study, and something you have read to exaggerate 100 times. You read it over and over. But this particular time, you read it, and the light bulb goes off. Wait a minute. I have read this before, and I never saw this. And a lot of people have had that experience. If you do your Bible study at one point or another, you read something you have read 100 times, and you see something that you never saw before. And it is just, to me, it's exciting. You know, we don't have it. Look at this. I've read it over and over. Never before today. And see, I'm ready to give things like that to the Holy Spirit, that he opened this particular understanding for us, where we are able to plainly see what we had never seen maybe in the last 10 years reading that same verse. One of the things I do know, we have people sometimes, they feel depressed, sad, whatever the feeling. It's not a good feeling. And one of the things you can do, maybe you do it, I don't know, but you can always go to the Holy Spirit and just plainly confess, you know, I'm feeling depressed, I'm whatever it is, and ask the Holy Spirit to remove this depression, to remove this sadness or whatever it is, and to replace it with a feeling of joy. I don't know if anybody's ever had that experience where they've actually gone to the Holy Spirit and asked him to change it. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling depressed. So at any rate, that happens. And if you try it sometimes when you're not your best, ask them to change or whatever, and you will find it really works. He is there for us. He has this relationship with God. And God, talking to the Holy Spirit, will tell him what it is he wants him to do. It may concern, who knows, could concern anybody. It could be something concern all of us. But God tells the Holy Spirit what it is that he wants him to do. Now, I got this from Dr. Detto, and most of us in here probably know Dr. Detto. And this is what he brought out, the relationship between the Holy Spirit and God giving him instructions as to what he wanted him to do at the time, you know. And we can find so many examples of, you could just go on and on with examples of where the Holy Spirit has helped us, have intervened in our life. Sometimes I've talked to people and your car breaks down. What happened? All of a sudden, a person appeared, and you say, where did he come from? And you don't know. A lot of times, you don't even know when they came, and after they help you, you don't know. They just disappear. They leave. You know, you don't know. And a lot of people have had that particular experience. And I put all of those such things, the Holy Spirit, that's what I say. That is what I say. And if you think about 1 Thessalonians 5 and what it says about the Holy Spirit there, we are not, in that particular word about the Holy Spirit, really means we are not to smother the Holy Spirit. We're not to smother. We are to use the Holy Spirit. We are to follow the directions of the Holy Spirit. And that's power. And there's a lot of love. And he gives us, which we know, he gives us all of these gifts that people say they don't have. Well, anyway, I say they don't have because people do that, you know. So, well, what is your gift? I don't have a gift. All of us have gifts. And we get them, the Holy Spirit gives these gifts. The Holy Spirit helps us to have the fruit of the Spirit. And if you think about 1 Corinthians 13 about love and all that it names there, well, you know, hope, the three that they name. And the point is, of all of those things, the other two are important things. But the point of the whole thing is, say, the best of all of these things is love. And we get that. We get that from the Holy Spirit. Someone just mentioned today, we were talking, well, about the Holy Spirit. And the fact that, let's say you're just walking along, and all of a sudden, a car come around the corner. Now, you don't see the car, but we know that the Holy Spirit sees it. And so all of a sudden, someone pushes you. You don't see anybody. Even after it's over, you don't see anyone, but you know that someone pushed you in your back. And you know it wasn't Satan. You know he didn't do it. What does he care about the car hitting you or destroying your life? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So that's why I say he just helps us in many, many ways. And before, I remember the time when we used to say the Holy Spirit, we would say it. Remember when we used to say it? Holy Spirit was it. That's no longer the case. We shouldn't have been saying it then. And we said it then because we didn't know any better, I'm assuming. But you know the Holy Spirit is not a it. An it. It's not an it. And the Holy Spirit being part of the Trinity, we all know that. And I hope everybody is convinced. Everyone is convinced that it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when we are being prompted by the Holy Spirit to do whatever, do it. Don't sit and try to figure it out. Wait a minute. He probably wanted me to do it. No. That's not the Holy Spirit. You know, we talk ourselves out of things as well. You know, nah, told you to do so and so. But what do you think? He said, wait a minute. That probably wasn't the Holy Spirit saying that. That's just me. Those are my thoughts. That's what I feel. I mean, that's one of the ways you get out of things. You know, you don't do them because of that thought. You might have found yourself in situations that you wanted to get out of, but you didn't know how to get out of it gracefully. And maybe there was a particular answer to something someone asked you. You didn't know what to say, but you had someone with you who knew exactly what you should say, knew exactly how you should answer that particular question. The Holy Spirit. You might have gone on a job interview, and on that job interview, you needed his help. You needed favor. Have you ever prayed for favor? And God said, somebody said something, but anyway, okay, you have done that, you know. It may be you're sitting there waiting for an answer to whether you're going to get this job, and you're praying and asking God to give you favor in the sight of this person who's going to be doing the hiring, you know. So a lot of times we do things and we say things, and we really do depend on the Holy Spirit. We really do. But the thing about it, all the time, it's not the thoughts that's in the mind. This is the Holy Spirit that's doing this. We might have other issues. But the Holy Spirit is the one who's helping us. And if we just think more and more and more about the Holy Spirit, and this is so important. It really is. To me, it really is. Because I feel like, well, you depend. Well, you got God, you got the Father, and it's a huge blessing to be a child of God. And then you have Jesus Christ, who gave his life for all of us, every single person. And then we have the Holy Spirit that helps us through so many situations. Maybe you were going down this street and a thought came to mind, I shouldn't do that. So then you, I think I'll go this way. And the way you went was the way that he wanted you to go, because at the end of this alley, there was danger. There were people lurking out there to do harm. So you help us. You keep us safe. And we just thank you for that. And if you're somewhere and the Holy Spirit, or whatever you, if you want to call it, it's the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. He's given no other name. Tells you. See a lady sitting over there in the corner. Go over there and talk to her. And you don't know the lady. You don't know anything about her. But the one thing you know is the Holy Spirit said, go over there and talk to that lady. And I know folks right here in this congregation have had similar situations. And one particular one I want to mention has to do with my daughter. Some of these facts may be, I may not be able to remember all of it, but being in a mall, here it is, let's say 12 o'clock at night, and you go get in your car, and your car won't start. And the bottom line is, there's only one other car in the entire parking lot. And that person is willing to help you. But the point of the whole thing, you need the battery is a problem. And you need a cable to get yours started. And the person who's willing to help you has no cable. She has no cables. So what can she do? Your phone is one tick from being totally dead. So you can't call anyone, you know. So if I have this correct, you have food that you say, well, I'm going to eat. And you have prayed and prayed and asked God to start this car. Here it is, you out here by yourself, start the car. And the car is not doing anything. It's just sitting there. So you finally make a decision. What can I do? Get in the car, eat my food, and talk to God. That's what I'm going to do. And as soon as she said that, what happened? Shh, the car started up, you know? And it's just so many situations that you can name. So many times we know that God did intervene. So anyway, instead of going on and on, let's count your blessings. And look at all the things that he has done for you, that he has done for others, people we know, We can make a list of folks and the various things that God has done to help them. And he helps us on a regular basis. Even at the time we may think we are doing something, it's the Holy Spirit. So keep in mind the Holy Spirit. And one last thing I want to mention, and I'm not going to go on, but one more thing, I'm not doing that, so you don't have to worry about that. You can remember that one more thing, like how many hours. Okay, one thing that's extremely important, and you've read it in the Bible over and over and over, and what it says, never, never speak against the Holy Spirit. Now, you heard that, and where Christ says, look, we will forgive you if you speak against God, and we will forgive you this if you speak against him, Jesus Christ. But what he says, never, never, never should you speak against the Holy Spirit, because you will never, never be forgiven for doing that. So if you start thinking about those things, it tells you something about how important the Holy Spirit is. Think about that. And here, never speak against the Holy Spirit. Whatever he does is for our good. So listen to him. Know that God the Father wants him to help you to become more and more God-like. This is what he's doing, helping you to become more and more as God would have you be. Okay?
I got a Holy Spirit story. Exactly the story that Mom spoke about. Late at night, rain is pouring down. This is down in Florida. I come out of the university, go to start my car. I heard, ching, ching. Battery issues. And I said, God, right now I'm really tired, okay? And I really need some help here. I'm the only car in this parking lot. If I have to go across the security, it's about a quarter of a mile walk in the rain, right? I say, okay, can you just start the car and tomorrow we'll see about charging the battery? And I went home. Isn't that amazing? Now, of course, there are people who are doubters, right? And they would say, well, it wasn't a battery issue. You know, sometimes the starter sticks. And no. When the starter sticks, it goes clack, 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 clack. Correct? Any mechanics? But when your battery has an issue, right, you get a and it just dies, right? I know the difference. My daddy was a mechanic, okay? So that's just my Holy Spirit story. Well, one of the many, many stories. Last week, I asked Mr. Pastor High to come in and speak because I was elsewhere. And he spoke about Holy Spirit, the often neglected member of the Godhead. And he spoke in terms of Holy Spirit being always present from the beginning and basically is the most neglected member. But God is one. All three of them, yet one. So that was last week. And what I want to do today is I want to take it just a little bit further, right? Mom spoke about the Holy Spirit and some of the day-to-day issues and some of the day-to-day things that we find ourselves involved in, and the Holy Spirit is always present. I want to go back to our scripture for today, right? That's in the book of Acts chapter 2. And instead of picking up just in Acts chapter 2, what I want to do is I want to start it in verse 22. Excuse me. Now, in the book of Acts chapter 2 here, we're looking at a situation where they're talking about the apostle Peter, right? Remember Peter? Peter was the apostle who said, you know, I don't know this Jesus dude. I don't know this person. I don't know this blankety blank person. Don't fill in the blanks, okay? I don't know who he is. Three times he denied Christ. And sometimes we look at that and say, well, Peter was a coward. I mean, really, was he? Just a few hours ago, he took that sword and he went slinging, right? Sling! Took off the air, right? He was a zealot. He had a passion for justice, right? He had a passion for doing the right thing. Well, depending on how you look at it. But see, the issue here with Peter was, I believe, that the reason why he denied Christ was not necessarily because he was a coward, as people would say. You see, what happened is that Jesus now gave him the opportunity to see life from a different perspective. It's something new. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced doing something new or being asked to do something new? And here's how it looks sometimes. Your boss says, okay, Kenneth, what I want you to do is, instead of stacking the papers on the desk this way that you've accustomed stacking, I want you to stack it this way. So it's something different, and our psyche, the neurotransmitters hasn't yet, you know, developed in such a way where it becomes a normal part of our behaviors. So this is something new, something uncertain. When he took off the air of that soldier. Now, that's the way we do things, right? That's the way we roll around here because I'm a zealot. But now Christ is telling me, no, put down the sword. I'm going to be doing something new in you. Put down that sword. And now here's Peter looking at the trial, so to speak. I put that in quotations, right? The trial of Jesus Christ and seeing the injustice there. And really, his way of doing things is to pick up a sword. He's a zealot. But Christ is saying, no, I don't want you to pick up a sword, Peter. What I want you to do, I want you to turn the other cheek. I want you to pray for your enemies, right? I'm doing something new. It's a new work I'm doing in you, right? I want you to pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. It's a new you I'm developing, Peter. And Peter is sitting there looking at Christ, totally helpless, and probably to himself, in my imagination at least, right? He's looking at Christ and saying, what am I supposed to do? And being placed in that position where he doesn't know what to do, or he knows what to do, but he doesn't have the power to do it, he's helpless. And therefore, fear starts to set in. Because whenever we are taken from that place of comfort into a place where we aren't accustomed, there is a degree of what we call in the mental health field, a little bit of anxiety sets in. Uncertainty. We are now standing not on solid ground, but on quicksand. And here's the position that Peter found himself in. And later on, we see in Acts chapter 2, the same Peter who denied Christ three times. Here we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. I'll skip around. I'll just put the pieces together. Men of Israel, listen. Is that the same Peter? Men of Israel, listen. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, whoa. They always say that when you point one finger, three comes back at you, right? But Peter had no problem, right? He says, but you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Is that the same Peter? The same one who was stooping in the corner, in my imagination, right? Stooping in the corner, trying to hide from the crowd because of his anxiety, his uncertainty, denying Christ, denying that he even knows Christ, or they even used to hang out with him. I mean, how in the world could he be in Jerusalem and not know who this Christ person is? I don't know this man. Is this the same Peter who boldly, men of Israel, listen, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, right, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Same Peter. See, the difference between these two Peters is that the first one didn't have Holy Spirit. The second one, oh, he was brimful and running over with Holy Spirit. What does Holy Spirit do for you? Holy Spirit says, I got a new work to do in you. Right? Holy Spirit says, he says, listen, help me to help you. Right? Help me to help you. This is what Holy Spirit does. Now we'll go now to verse 38. Because after Peter went through his discourse, dissertation, whatever you call it here, the question came, and it's a famous question, right? Men and brethren, what shall we do? And in verse 38, he says, I'm looking for it. I'll start in verse 37. He says, when the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's a condition for receiving Holy Spirit. Yes, we can benefit from all of the things that Holy Spirit does. You know, the food on the table, roof over your head, protection, divine favor on the job, favor wherever. And we can just be brimful and running over with all these blessings. However, there is criteria. And we see it here. Repent. You see, Peter repented. And like many of us, we repented also. And we're going to talk about repentance in a few weeks. But what I'll say right here is we came to the point in our lives where we recognized that, you know, this is nothing. I am deserving of death. Because we all know that the wages of sin is death, right? Or the natural consequences or the natural outcomes of this behaviors, of these behaviors, of this lifestyle, of this way of thinking, right, leads to death. And when we come to the point where we recognize that, then we are ready for Holy Spirit to work. Because at baptism, what we said is that, okay, God, forgive me. I have sinned. I am in need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ says, okay, I will be your Savior. I need to be Lord also. And we said yes. And in saying yes, what we're actually saying is that, you know, I don't know what love is. I don't know what joy is. Because all of the things that used to bring me happiness, I still am not happy. I still don't experience that joy. I don't know what it's like to have peace. Yes, I'm surrounded by all these things. And they're pretty. Thank you very much. But I don't have peace. I don't know what patience is. I don't know what generosity is. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit, those things that bring us joy and those things that bring us into relationship with God, I don't know what that is. You see, because the way of life that I have been living before is as a result of my society. And what did God say about the world? It's evil. I grew up in an evil world. I grew up making all of my decisions based on wrong premise. So now at this point in my life, I am saying, okay, God, I am going to be totally shutting off this old person. And I'm going to allow Holy Spirit now to come in and teach me what is right. I know what is wrong, but I don't know what is right. And you see, it's at that point that we start letting Holy Spirit have his way in us, right? Where we become totally surrendered to him. You see, and I want to go to John now, John chapter 16. And in the book of John, what's happening here is this is the last meal that Jesus is having with his disciples. And while he was sitting around that table, what he was saying is, he's saying, I must leave. My purpose on this earth is fulfilled. But I'm not going to leave you wanting. I'm going to send the Comforter. And in John 16, verse 12, he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. And I'm sure we can understand this because sometimes we get what's called information overload. Ever experienced that? You're sitting in a class and the professor is just throwing information at you and you're trying to capture it and it's like, okay, enough. And sometimes we just shut down and we say, okay, what I have is good enough. So what Christ is saying here that, you know, I have more that I can give to you, but you can't bear it. You're not ready for this yet. But when he, referring to Holy Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. Question, why do we need a guide? You see, my wife and I, we've done quite a bit of traveling. Right? And sometimes we rough it, and that means that we go and we rent a vehicle and drive, and sometimes we get lost, and then we get unlost. One of the things that I learned is, this was a few years ago, that GPS in the United States is not necessarily functional in other countries. Right? So you learn to get lost, and you learn to get unlost. But had we gone the normal route of the normal tourist by using a guide, taking one of those guided tour buses, then what would happen is that we would not get lost. You see, what happens is that on those tour buses, usually, I don't know how many of you are familiar with this, but there's usually some person on that tour bus who is an expert on the area. So they will talk to you about the history of the area. They will talk to you about how many different people live in this, and this is this person's house, and this is where this treaty was signed. And, you know, they go through all of these things, and they tell you about the place so that by the time you're finished there, you're well-educated. So basically, the guide takes you from point A to point B. Our point A is, we don't know diddly, right? We are totally oblivious to truth. We don't know what love is. We don't know how to bring about joy. We don't have peace. That's our point A. The Holy Spirit first is going to guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit is going to tell you what is true peace, what is true happiness. Because the things that we've been chasing after that we believe bring us happiness, it don't work. And we continue chasing after the same things, trying to get happy, and find that we chase after the same things and we keep getting what we got. Unhappiness, frustration. But Holy Spirit is saying, I will show you the way to peace. And sometimes we listen as mom was saying, and sometimes we don't. Because Holy Spirit is saying that, okay, I told this story one time about the person who was riding the horse on the side of the mountain. He fell off the edge of the mountain and he grabbed hold of a root. He's hanging, dangling at the side of the cliff with one hand holding onto the root. And he's crying out to God saying, God, help. Is there anyone up there? Help. You know, like in the movies, the heavens open up and then the voice comes down. And he says, is there anyone up there? He says, yes, I'm here. Help, help, help. Do you really want my help? He says, yes, I'll do anything, I'll do anything. And God says, let go. Is there anyone else up there? Okay. And quite often in our lives, that's how we are, right? You know, we start reasoning. We start using human reason, right? We say, well, this doesn't make much sense. Because if I let go of this job, how am I going to pay my bills? If I let go of this particular car, how am I going to get back and forth to work? If I let go of this relationship, then how am I going to find my happiness and security? If I let go, then how? You see, the old way of life tells us that I need a man or I need a woman to keep me secure. I need money to pay the bills. I need a car to get to work. I need a job in order to survive. That's the old way of thinking. What God says is, you don't need that, you need me. Amen? You need me. And what happens is that we keep holding on to this little root, which one day is going to bust anyway. Is there anyone else up there? Holy Spirit is saying, let go. Help me to help you. How can you help me to help you? Let go. Let go the old way of thinking, because I need you to close your mind off to everything that you've learned in the past, because where has that gotten you? Let go of your human reasoning. Oh, it don't make sense. God is asking me to go down there and talk to those people, and it don't make sense because, you know, if I go down there, those dudes look rough, man. So what? What if God asks you to do something knowing fully well that you're in danger? What if God asks you to do something fully well knowing that you go down there, you're going to get shot? What if God asks you to go down there and knowing fully well that you're in danger, you're going to get shot and you're going to die in a pool of blood right there in that alley? What if God told you that that's what's going to happen to you? Now what? Well, you know, I got to think about that. Because, you know, deep down, I feel that the scriptures say that lead us not into temptation. And the scriptures say that God is going to protect us, that God is going to provide for us, that all these good things are going to happen. Is that what the scripture says? I'm here to give you bad news, people. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. This is the bad news, but it's also the good news. The bad news is God says, Jesus, same thing. Same person. Same entity. They persecuted me. What makes you think that you're going to be so different? You see, I apologize for all of this doctrine that we've been hearing about, you know, these smooth things that you've been hearing. That, you know, you repent, you believe, you baptize, and then everything's going to be nice and peachy. You know it's not. As long as you're doing God's work on this earth, you're going to go through hell on earth. But Holy Spirit says, you know what, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. It don't matter what you're going through, I will be there and right next to you. And even if I ask you to sacrifice your life, I need you to believe for me, right, that what I'm asking you to do is a good thing. Because there's a greater purpose being worked out here. Right? Your life. Yes, the next waking moment, you're going to be with me. To be absent in the body is to be present with God. But your life, I might ask you to give your life up for my work to be done. My work is bigger than you. Amen? My work is bigger than you. And when God says, I need you, like Carissa was saying earlier, you know, I'm working out a few things here, and I need you to fill this spot right here. Can you? Okay, next. Okay, good, beautiful. Doing God's will, that's what it's about. It's not about my personal comfort. Because what does the scripture say? I don't call you for personal comfort right now, baby. That's not what I'm about. The Son of Man, I don't even have a place to lay my head. I don't have a place to lay my head. Where's your next meal coming from? I'll provide. You see, sometimes what happens is that we look towards the green as a way of fulfilling all those needs that we have. The green is just an instrument. Who is it that fulfills the need? It's Christ, God, Holy Spirit. Help me to help you. And the reason why he's able to help us is because we have to accept the fact that we don't know. We don't know this country. It's totally new to us. We don't know the path to righteousness. Because if we'd known it, we would have been there, right? And quite often what happens is that we put up these barriers and we say, well, you know, yes, God, but surely the Lord God, the great Almighty God, isn't going to ask me to do that. Yes, he will. That's assuming that you're listening to the right spirit, right? Okay. In order for Holy Spirit to work fully in us, we must be willing to surrender all. Holy Spirit is the guide into all truth. Holy Spirit is the comforter, the counselor, the advocate. Trust me. Well, don't trust me. Trust Jesus. Holy Spirit know what he's doing. Right? We may not know the road or the path to righteousness, or we may not know the path to all truth. Holy Spirit does. Have you ever gone on a tour bus and found that there's someone who believes they know more than the tour guide? Can that person learn anything? No. And you see, what happens is that Holy Spirit does not come and force us. You see, the difference here is that Holy Spirit leads into truth. What is necessary for Holy Spirit to lead? We got to be willing to follow. You see, in the islands, we have this saying that says that two man rat can't live in the same hole. It means that you can't have two bosses. Holy Spirit is not going to force us to do anything. He's not going to grab us by the scruff of the neck or grab us by the ear, you know, like your mama used to do and lead you along. No. Holy Spirit is going to be gently coming alongside you and saying, you know, Kenneth, I set before you blessings and cursings. I want you to choose blessings, right? Choose this way. This is the right way. If you choose this way, Kenneth, then what's going to happen is that you'll be blessed. This is the path. Walk ye in it, right? Here is the exam. Here is the question. Here are the questions to the exam. And here are the answers. The answer is C. Nah. The answer is not C. You tried, right? Trying to trick me, right? God gave you the exam. He gave you the questions, and he's giving the answers. And he says, choose life. This is the answer. Bubble it in. I guarantee you'll get it right. But what happens is, see, nah, I'm going to check this one across here, right? Because surely the Lord God is not going to give me something more than I can handle, right? Surely the Lord God knows that this is the answer. And it really doesn't matter how many times we circle the wrong answer and get beaten up. for some reason, we don't want to circle the right answer. Because why? We're scared that God is right. What's that? Yeah. Or scared. You see, just like Peter, what happens is that we become scared because God's saying that I'm doing a new work in you. I need you to trust me. I need you to put aside all of the things that you've learned in the past and just depend on me that as I direct you into the path of truth, into the path of righteousness, that it's going to be a correct path. I need you to trust me. I need you to do that for me. But just like Peter, what happens is that even though we academically know what we are supposed to be doing, even though from sometimes we hear Holy Spirit telling us what to do, you know, this new path thing, it could be a scary thing. Because what's going to happen when I let go of this route? What's going to happen when I let go of this job, when I let go of this relationship? Because all God is saying is, I need you to let go and let me. Stop depending on your own skills, because you ain't got no skills like me. Stop depending on your own way of thinking, because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Stop depending on your way of being, because I am the great I am. What I need you to do is, I need you to let go and let God. Help me to help you. Isn't that what this life is about? And now comes the big question at the end of the lecture. Okay. How are we doing? How are we doing? Are we still scared? I mean, is the devil still intimidating you? Are you still scared of that serpent? That old devil? Satan? You still scared of him? Because no need to be scared of him. He's defeated. Right? You see, the head of the serpent is already cut off. And all you see is the body just wiggling in the corner there, and it's still standing back and, you know. No need to be scared. Because the spirit that God gave to us is not a spirit of fear, right? It's a spirit of power, right? A spirit of a sound mind. How in the world could he harm you? He can't. He can't. Unless God says, okay. In which case, okay, bring it on. But we should have no fear of that devil. Yes, you respect his power. But the only thing that he can do to you is what God allows. And already we know that God loves us so that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we are here in your presence, great God in heaven, so thankful to you, great God. There is none like you. And God, yes, sometimes we're scared. Yes, great God, sometimes we don't trust you. Sometimes we don't believe in you, but we ask that you would help our unbelief. Strengthen us through that power, your Holy Spirit. Strengthen us, great God in heaven, that we would have the confidence and the courage to step forth and to be able to proclaim your word, Father, to proclaim your righteousness, to proclaim to this world, Father, the deeds that you have done in us, through us, with us. And God, help us so that that spirit of fear will be no longer, but that we can trust in your great love and in your grace towards us, that even while we were sinners, great God, even when we did not know you, you were on your throne. You were orchestrating things, Father. And through your prevenient grace, Father, you orchestrated things in our lives to protect us to provide for us even when we did not know that you existed. And so, great God in heaven, here we are. Help us to empty ourselves of ourselves. To give up our old way of thinking and to accept you, great God in heaven, to accept Holy Spirit, to listen to Holy Spirit. God, and even though that we may not always hear, teach us to hear. Teach us what your voice sounds like. Teach us, great God in heaven, because we want to know. We want to know what love is. We don't know what it is, great God in heaven, and we need you to show us what it is. We need you to teach us, Father, what is peace, what is joy. We need you to help us so that we can grow to have a relationship with you, Father, that is filled with joy and peace. And not only that, great God in heaven, so that the joy that builds up in us, Father, it will just overflow to those people we come into contact with. But most of all, great God in heaven, we pray for the peace that comes from knowing you. We pray, Father, that you would help us to trust you. And that can only come, great God in heaven, once we humble ourselves, as 2 Chronicles says, that if my people who are called according to my name would humble themselves, turn from our wickedness, great God in heaven, listen to you, great God in heaven. And this is all we ask. Father, you know that we are frail, we are weak, but you are strong. And we are asking, great God in heaven, that you forgive our frailties and that you work in us a miracle, that you would give us that new thing, that you would give us that newness of life, great God in heaven. And we pray this now, great God, in the name and by the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ. And through the power of Holy Spirit, great God, we ask this prayer.